Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. America has a bad habit of wasting food. The waste is staggering. Up to 40% of food in the U.S. never gets eaten. It starts small, that lonely head of lettuce you've let go limp in the fridge, the leftover casserole that went from savory to slimy. On a larger level, the mounds of food tossed out from restaurant buffets, corporate boardrooms, and college cafeterias.
I feel really bad because I try the new foods here, and I usually end up not liking it, honestly.
Isabella Ramos is a student at Holy Cross.
And then I put it right on that conveyor belt, and I just see it all just dumped down.
All this week, WBUR is reporting on the future of food. A pressing need for our future is to reduce the amount of food we throw out. There is more food waste in landfills than any other waste. As the food rots, it generates methane. That's a greenhouse gas that contributes to global warming. And at the same time we toss out so much food, about 600,000 people in the state don't have enough to eat. That's one out of every 11 people.
We have kind of these ironic twin problems of food waste and food insecurity at the same time.
John Fisher oversees commercial waste reduction for the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. Nearly 5 years ago, the department imposed a commercial food waste disposal ban. The regulation says any enterprise that generates 1 ton or more of food waste per week cannot put all that food in the garbage. There are about 1,700 places that fall under the ban. We wanted to see what they're doing with their food waste. The produce section of Roach Brothers in West Roxbury is a feast for the eyes and the taste buds. Gleaming ruby apples, bell peppers, and plump potatoes are stacked high. There are cases filled with containers of berries and cut melons. Every day, workers scour the store and pluck out whatever food is about to turn bad or expire. They take the perishables to the store's kitchen. Store chefs use them to make prepared foods the market sells. Anything the chefs don't add to a dish takes another route to people who can eat it.
Attention all departments. The food pantry truck is on the way. Could you please bring all donations to grocery receiving? Thank you.
5 days a week, a truck from Love and Spoonfuls comes to the store. The nonprofit food rescue organization takes away the edible food that went unsold and delivers it to places that will serve it to people in need. Two crew members load up the truck with boxes full of French cheese, milk, sandwiches, and veggies.
So these are vegetables, look like root vegetables cut up for a stew or something, carrots and parsnips and potatoes. Do you eyeball the products themselves? Like, can anything be the least bit brown in there?
Oh, yeah, things can be brown.
Jacob Matz is a food rescue coordinator for Love and Spoonfuls.
What we're really looking for is that there is not mold.
The workers leave behind just a few pounds of vegetables that are getting moldy or mushy. They weigh each box they take.
I think that was 86 pounds of produce. Do you see that final number?
The last was 83.
This Roach Brothers store donates about 1,800 pounds of food in an average week. It puts a little more than that into its compost bins. That compost will ultimately be converted into fertilizer or energy. Managing food waste is a lot of work.
It's challenging.
Store manager Scott Christie.
I can imagine that some stores would have a tough time that don't have the operation that we have or the size to collect it all, dispose of it properly. Instead of just taking it and throwing it right in the trash, now you've got to handle it 2-3 times.
But the state says diverting food waste saves money. It costs less to have compost hauled away than to send waste to a landfill, and it costs nothing to donate to a food rescue. New England grocery giant Stop & Shop takes a more direct approach to getting rid of its food waste and keeping it out of landfills. Every day, the company's truckers haul unused food from 200 stores to the Stop & Shop distribution center in Freetown on the South Coast. It's a colossal operation where the food is turned into energy. That's the sound of about 900 pounds of food getting dumped from a huge bin into a hopper. It's one store's food waste from one day. It gets processed and fed into an anaerobic digester outside. The digester is a three-story high tank, and it's a hungry beast. It has to stay full. On an average day, Stop & Shop processes 95 tons of food for it. The food breaks down and releases methane. In this setting, methane is valuable. It's turned into energy 40% of the power needed to run this distribution facility. Most of that power started off as produce.
You've got some bad apples, some bad oranges. They're all soft and soggy.
Roger Beliveau is Stop & Shop's manager of distribution services.
Anything that's in these bins is all material that has to be processed into the digester because we couldn't donate it, we couldn't sell it, and it's not anything that a person could consume.
We ask why more produce isn't pulled from the shelves in time to donate it for human consumption.
It's a fine line between pulling it off in time to still be good for the food bank versus trying to sell it to the customer. With produce especially because it can turn overnight.
Stop & Shop does donate a lot of food. It's the largest donor to the Greater Boston Food Bank. The company says some mistakes can happen at the store level when discarding food, but that Stop & Shop isn't shortchanging food donation in order to feed its digester. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says businesses should make donating food the top priority when dealing with food waste. Some people who work in food rescue say they'd like Massachusetts to encourage donation more.
There is sort of this broad push to keep food out of landfill, and there is not as much of a push behind working towards higher level diversion.
Lauren Palumbo is the chief operating officer of Love and Spoonfuls.
But what we want to make sure is happening, that anything that is still edible is used to feed people first.
State environmental leaders say more food is being donated since the ban took effect in 2014, but composting and anaerobic digestion have grown more. The state set a goal of seeing an additional 350,000 tons of food diverted from the waste stream each year. The most recent data is from 2 years ago. The state was just over halfway to that goal. The ban has its weaknesses. It doesn't specify how much food waste businesses have to divert, just that they can't dump a ton per week in the trash. And the state doesn't have enough inspectors to check out each place. Instead, they go to transfer stations and landfills. They spot the loads that have too much food in them and trace them back to the source. The Department of Environmental Protection's John Fisher says this method has some pluses.
When we go to a busy trash facility and we do a full-day inspection, we can see close to 100 loads of trash in a day. And it would be pretty difficult for us to go around and visit 100 different businesses in a day.
The state has issued just 49 citations, $7,500 in fines. Back at Holy Cross in Worcester, the dining halls have no trays, and the plates are intentionally small. The idea is, if students take less food, they'll waste less food. Chefs cook food only as it's needed and put it out in small serving pans. Marty Dudek is the associate director of dining at Holy Cross.
What you would think about if you're doing 1,500 people for a meal, you'd want to have as much out as possible. We look at it the exact opposite.
Dudek tracks how much food his kitchen staff orders. The school has less waste to compost than it did when the ban started, and almost no leftover food to donate. Student Dennis Gomez works in a campus kitchen. He bristles at scraping entire plates of student leftovers into the compost bin.
I was always taught in my household to, like, eat everything on the plate, be grateful, don't waste food just to waste it. So for me, like, seeing that was, like, sort of, like, very shocking.
The state is revising its overall waste disposal plan. It's looking at expanding the food disposal ban to smaller producers of food waste and working with cities and towns to set up residential food waste programs. That's despite the challenges of enforcing the existing ban. Our story was produced by Lynn Joliker. You can find our entire series on the future of food at WBUR.org.